Hello and welcome. You are listening to the From the Nosebleeds podcast, season 2, episode 5, I think we are on. My name is Thomas Bachnick, as always, joined by Thomas Coburn and, of course, producer Paul Gismondi via Zoom call. Coburn, what's going on today?
Nothing much. Just wrapped up a nice Thanksgiving weekend over here in Canada. Have it a little bit early, but how was – you have a good Thanksgiving?
Yeah, I had a pretty good weekend. Not bad Thanksgiving, of course. Had some turkey. Had the usuals for a good Thanksgiving dinner, which I know we got into last year, our favorite Thanksgiving food. I'm not going to reopen old wounds and start another heated debate there. But yeah, it was pretty good. I had some time to spend with the family, and then I've had a good week as well. What about you?
Yeah, pretty good. And also football. I guess we can lead this right into playing each other in fantasy this week.
Which we forgot to mention on last week. I guess I kind of realized it late, but yeah, we did play each other in fantasy football last week.
Yeah, and my team did horrible, pretty much, except for one star. The star of the week, I would say. In any position.
Do you want to build it up with a story of why you even played him?
Yes, okay. So we're not going to reveal the name yet, but earlier in the week, Thomas Pachnick offered me a trade.
I didn't just offer you a trade. We were in intense
in negotiations
for some time on the phone.
Yeah. And this player got thrown around, and he wanted him, and he was like, oh, he's not that good. Just throw him in the trade. And, you know, I know that obviously he knows he's a good player, but I was just like, you know what? I'm going to start him this week against you. And that player, of course, was Chase Claypool.
Yep.
So I pretty much won the week based off that. Your team did all right.
I did all right. I had some.
You had the Ravens defense.
Down, but
I had the Ravens defense. So Miles Sanders, that huge run against the Steelers. But obviously, it got the better of you. 39 points. I think it's 42 in a full PPR league or something like that.
Yeah, it was something crazy.
But yeah, unreal game from him. And that was a really good game. I watched pretty much that whole Steelers-Eagles game, and that was an entertaining game.
Yeah, it was pretty back and forth, and the Steelers got ahead at some points by quite a bit, and to the Eagles' credit, they kind of battled their way back. I just picked up on waivers because I'm last place in the league. I have a first priority on the waiver order, and I just picked up that, I think it's Travis Fulgham is his name.
Yeah.
That Eagles wide receiver was a crazy story. I think he was on the Lions earlier in the year. He bounced around to a couple practice squads. So hopefully he can chase Claypool, to victory for a couple of weeks here.
Back into a playoff spot.
I mentioned last week that I couldn't have one week where I just hit on everything. And it seemed like every week I just get one thing, whether it's a Dolphins win. If the Dolphins win, I'm not winning in fantasy. I'm not hitting my spread picks. My survivor pool entry is probably going down the garbage. But this weekend, the Dolphins won, and it was a thrilling victory. They just blew the 49ers out, which was amazing to see. 2-0 on the spread picks for me, and you were 2-0 as well.
4-0 week.
So kudos to you. 4-0 week for the podcast.
Yeah.
My survivor pool just barely got over the line. I had the Cowboys, which I was sweating in front of the TV there. And then I thought, perfect. This is going to be the 4-0 weekend. My fantasy team's going to win. I got off to a great start. Miles Sanders had a big early touchdown. And then Chase Claypool happened. And it was just – couldn't get that.
What's crazy is he could have had 5 touchdowns. He caught a touchdown. I mean, he ran it in. There was offensive pass interference. But if that wasn't called, there was another touchdown there. It was – the Steelers just targeted him all day. It was crazy.
And
but yeah, I mean,
he's starting to get a little more comfortable in the NFL. It looks like when we talked about the Steelers a couple episodes ago, we both kind of agreed that we think this kid's really good and he's going to get better as the year goes on. And that's starting to show. But one thing I've noticed with him is he's starting to get I think maybe Juju's kind of taking him under his wing. He's starting with the TikTok, and you saw him after the game. He posted the Tom Brady throwing up the 4. He had his face photoshopped on it. So, you know, he's starting to dive into a little bit of the star power aspect of the game, which is kind of cool to see.
Yeah, he's playing into the social media aspect. He also posted that photo with him and Ben, I think it was at practice, and it was 7-11, always open. Mm-hmm. as like that's pretty clever. Yeah, so having some fun with it. Clearly influenced from Juju, I would say.
We gotta get Paulo, producer Paulo Gismondi. We gotta get him a 7-Eleven always open shirt just to add to his
add shrine. To his Claypool collection.
This is shrine that he keeps in his room of the greatest talent to ever come out of Notre Dame.
Notre Dame, yeah.
No, but yeah, like you said, it was a really good game from both the Eagles and Steelers back and forth. Did you have the Steelers?
Spread picks? Yeah, they were one. I had them and the Rams.
Yeah, and the Steelers were -7 and they covered? Yeah.
Yeah, they won by 9 in the end. Got a little bit scared. I thought it was good for sure. And then, as you said earlier, the Eagles did.
They came back. But just to touch on our fantasy matchup, and I guess it does relate to this game, Zach Ertz for the Eagles. I don't know what has happened with this guy this year. He was a 90-catch-a-season player a year ago, 2 years ago. He had one catch for 6 yards in this game. And I'm sure you watched most of this game. You didn't even notice him.
Yeah, it's crazy to see the fall off, especially between him and like Wentz and Ertz. That used to be just his go-to. Third down, whenever he's, you know, the blitz comes, he's just number one target over any receiver on that team. Especially, I remember, especially because I had him in fantasy the year that that really big year he had when him and Kelsey, like before Kittle was even anything, he had a monster year. And to see where he's at now, it's really interesting how he's just kind of being phased out of the offense almost.
Yeah, it's extremely frustrating, especially for me, for my fantasy team, because I think, oh, you know, this is going to be the week where he returns to his, I don't know if that was 2017 or 2018. It was one of those years, his form where he's dominant and he's a PPR machine. There were weeks where he'd catch 10 passes. And now it's just like, lucky if he catches 10 passes in 4 weeks. But yeah, it was definitely a big week for you with Claypool, and it was great to see a player that we've talked about on this podcast since before the draft really have a huge, huge day in the NFL. So kudos to him. And
always good to see a Canadian thriving.
Exactly, a Canadian boy too, putting us on the map. But let's get into a little bit of talk about this week. Just this morning, it did break this morning. We are recording this in the early morning on Thursday. The Falcons are the latest team to experience a COVID-19 outbreak in the facility. They just shut down their facilities this morning. And it just seems like just when the Titans got over the hump, and it was almost like 2 weeks of every day new cases would come out in the team, just when we were almost COVID-free in the NFL, this big news dropped this morning with the Falcons. Who knows what's going to happen if they're even going to play on Sunday now?
Yeah, I mean, I doubt they'll play on Sunday. They're scheduled to play the Vikings, I believe, but I don't see it happening. And I see this as a thing that the NFL really needs to address this, I think. And I don't know if you need to schedule, for lack of a better term, like COVID weeks where there's no football and the only games that are played are the games that need to be made up. Because, you know, having games on Tuesday night, yeah, it's fun. But then Thursday night gets bumped to – like, we're supposed to have a game tonight. The Chiefs and Bills, I believe, were supposed to play tonight.
Yeah.
And they got moved to Monday at 5. And then there's two games on Monday. And it just kind of messes up the whole flow. I think the players wouldn't mind it because it's basically like most teams get an extra bye week. And, you know, with the fans, you know, it's like there's only one or two games that week. Whatever. Just deal with it. It's COVID. We're all adjusting to stuff. But I think that if they implemented – or they had the ability to just be like, okay, this week's canceled or whatever. Or like week 13, the Falcons are going to play the Vikings and nobody else is going to play. We're taking an extra week. I don't think there's any need to rush. I think that would be the best way of handling it.
If you mentioned there's no need to rush, the NFL should capitalize on this time. If anything, stretch out the season as long as you can. You're the only professional sport. The baseball playoffs are going on right now. We were just talking about it before we started the podcast. You know, you got MLB playoffs going on, but those are going to be wrapped up in 2-3 weeks.
Yeah.
The NFL is now the only major American sport that's going on. The NHL is in the offseason. The NBA is in the offseason. So, you know, capitalize on that market. Stretch out the season a little bit.
And even if, like, the NFL season, sorry, just to interrupt, were to bleed into the start of hockey or the NBA for some reason, it's like nobody's going to care. People are going to be watching the end of the NFL as opposed to the first couple weeks of hockey or basketball. They're pretty insignificant compared to the end of the NFL season.
The NFL's a monster. They trump all. They dominate Sunday. They dominate a single day of the week, and now they're even starting to dominate Thursday. They're throwing two games on the Monday. Yeah. The Tuesday night football that we had this week, that really messed up my schedule, because I think that was the third ever game on a Tuesday in NFL history. So after seeing that, on the game on the Tuesday, I kept thinking it was Monday night. Wednesday felt like Tuesday. Today feels like Wednesday. It's just, I'm all over the place now just because of a football game. So that tells you that much.
And now there's no Thursday night football. What are we going to do?
Today there's no Thursday night. What am I going to watch? I got nothing to do. But yeah, it's now it's concerning. And you mentioned potentially just giving everyone a week off. That may have to happen because the Titans are in a situation where they've used their bye week. They have no room for error. The Broncos as well, they've used their bye week. The
Steelers,
they've all, if anything happens now, they're going to have to push back the season, at least extend it for a week or two until things get resolved. And I know the Broncos players in particular, they practiced all week long preparing for the Patriots, which means that's not really considered their bye week, but they didn't get any rest because they were practicing. Most teams, bye week, that's it. It's a week off. So I know they're not too happy about that. But yeah, it's definitely not an easy fix, and it's a problem that I think a lot of people are making it sound like it's a lot easier to resolve. I think personally, people just love to rip on the NFL and its management whenever they can. But it's going to be interesting to see what happens this Sunday with the Falcons facility shutting down today.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, the only way it doesn't get pushed back is if every team only gets affected once and their bye weeks all get adjusted once, and it's like, it's not going to happen. So I just think it's a matter of time before they have to push it back.
100%. And then you get into the debate you mentioned before. I've read it on Twitter and social media being called, I guess, like phantom weeks, where it's a week 18, but not everyone plays. Now you get into a situation where come the wild card game, one team's on 2 weeks rest, one team's only on 1 week's rest. Is that really fair? One team has more preparation than the other. I don't know, like we talked about, there's not a solution that's just so easy to find. There's got to be some kind of, I guess, middle ground that they can settle on. But yeah, Falcons and Vikings not looking too good at all.
Probably not happening, yeah.
Probably not going to happen. So you know what I might do? I might pick one of them in our spread picks.
Yeah.
And then it didn't happen. So I'm just, it's just automatic win.
Automatic wins, yeah.
But yeah, something that could shake up this week's matchups is a big name on the free agent market, and that's Le'Veon Bell. Crazy to think, if you told me 3 years ago when a lot of people considered him the best running back in the NFL on the Steelers, that he'd be cut because the team couldn't even find a trade partner for him. His time with the Jets was one to forget, I think you can say the least. He made $20
million. Like most players that have played with the Jets.
Most players that played with the Jets.
The last couple of years, forgettable years.
He made $28 million in 18 games played. That's more than we've made for 18 podcasts. So
that's for sure.
So kudos to him.
Yeah.
For that one. He never had a game over 100 yards. He never had a rush over 20 yards per carry. Before we get into landing spots, I just want to throw this question out there. How much of his, for lack of a better term, horrible play in the past year and a half is on the Jets? Or how much of it are you putting on just him being, I guess, washed up, or you know, he's on the back nine of his career?
I'd honestly say about 75% on the Jets. And the only thing that I think that he's lost is that you remember on Pittsburgh when he could be so patient and then just on a dime, that explosiveness. Mm-hmm. I don't think he has that anymore. And I think that's the kind of the 25%. But he's still a great running back, in my opinion. But when you have no other weapons on offense and teams can just be like, okay, we're just going to stop Le'Veon Bell, there's nothing else, and your offensive line is what it is, it's like you're not giving him the benefit of the doubt. Okay, you've lost maybe that initial explosive step, but can you still, you can obviously still read defenses and find the holes. So I'm, me personally, I'm really excited to see where he goes. Like, any place is better than the Jets, and I really want to see him thrive. Because like you said, people used to think he was the best running back in the league. I was definitely one of those people on that hype train of saying Le'Veon Bell's the best running back. I was a big supporter of him and, you know, kind of phased out with New York.
It's hard to call him washed when he's not even given the ball. I think last week he had one catch, and they asked Adam Gase after the game, why isn't he being used? And he could not even come up with an answer. I think he just said, oh, you know, it is what it is, or something ridiculous. If you watch Adam Gase's press conferences and watch him talk about the situation, it's just embarrassing of why this guy's an NFL coach. Not to get off topic, but we talked how Dan Quinn last week, we said Dan Quinn might not be the head coach by the time we're done this podcast. We were a week late on that one. I'm going to put it out there. Adam Gase might not be a head coach a week from now when we're on this podcast. But yeah, do I think Le'Veon Bell is washed up? I'm going to say no, but you mentioned a great point when you say what he was so effective with in Pittsburgh is he would be handed the ball and it's almost like time would stop. He would just sit there and just wait for a hole. That's a running style that is very reliant on a fantastic offensive line, and that's what he had in Pittsburgh. I'm not discrediting his success, but that Pittsburgh offensive line, it's great this year, and it's been great for a really, really long time. So is he going to be able to rejuvenate himself and put up that same production if he goes to the Chicago Bears? I don't think so. I don't think a team is going to use him as that bell cow back anymore. But I think he can be a phenomenal complementary piece. I think he can thrive in a 1-2 punch. Using that Chicago example, if you put him with David Montgomery, you're going to get a great Le'Veon Bell, and I think you're going to make David Montgomery better too because he's struggled thus far in his career. So I think Le'Veon Bell still has a lot to offer. I don't know. Where do you think he's going to end up?
Where do I think he's going to end up? I think... I would say that I think the Bears will most likely, if there's a most likely, it's still like pretty undecided, but I think the Bears, if I had to bet, I'd say the Bears get him where I want him to go. I think he should go back to the Steelers. Yeah. I think it should be like a homecoming thing. Like, listen, I think both teams know they kind of messed up. I think Bell probably messed up more than the Steelers, like hindsight 2020, but I think he knows I should have stayed in Pittsburgh. Same with Antonio Brown, but you know, I think the grass was kind of greener. He wanted more money, but then, you know what I mean? He has had no success. Go back to the Steelers. And like you said, with Montgomery in Chicago, the same thing with the Steelers. They have James Conner. So he's no longer going to have to be the bell cow back if they don't want him to be that or they don't believe he can do that. And I think even if he's just more used as a receiving back, he's just – he fits that offense great. It's not the same offensive line, but it's still a great offensive line, like you mentioned. And I think it would just be really cool to see him back in a Steelers uniform.
One thing I'll say about that is I think often when people look at the running back position and they examine a team's needs, they just think of running backs from a strictly fantasy football perspective. They're going to say, oh, why do the Steelers need Le'Veon Bell? They have James Conner. James Conner is getting 18 carries a game. He's getting me 100 yards and a touchdown in fantasy. He's amazing. Why would the Steelers want to drop that production? I'll say teams do not care about your fantasy football team at all. When you bring a running back of the caliber of Le'Veon Bell, reunite him in Pittsburgh, you're going to motivate him a little bit. He's going to get going. He's going to want to bring that same production that he brought to Steelers fans. You are now in a situation where you can split carries. You have two running backs who are a lot fresher, less they're less prone to injuries. I'm sorry, I'm
there you go.
slurring
There
my
you
words
go.
over here.
It's
They're
early. It's
less
early.
prone. It's very early in the morning. They're less prone to picking up an injury now. You get into to week 17. You get into the playoffs. The Steelers are a team that are going to be pushing late in the year. You got a running back who is, you know, he's got double the freshness of what he would have before. It just it's something that I think people who are so focused on fantasy football, something that they wouldn't even think about. But that matters a lot to teams. I always talk about, when I talk about the running back position, the San Francisco 49ers last year and how effective they were pounding the ball. It seemed every single guy they got in that backfield would pick up 6 or 7 yards per carry. It's because they were well-rested. They were so motivated because they said, hey, if I don't do anything with this ball, there's three other guys there that they'll give it to instead of me. And I think a lot more teams should adapt this sort of two or three or some cases four-headed monster where you just you
got a running back solid by group committee.
Of guys and you share. Running back by committee, exactly. And I think Le'Veon Bell presents a great opportunity for a lot of teams to do that. And Pittsburgh Steelers are at the top of your list. I put them at least top three on my list of teams that should go out and get them.
Who else is on that list? The Bears and then who else?
I like the Bears. There's one team that I've seen, and it's honestly gained some traction. I think I read a report yesterday that said Le'Veon Bell will announce his destination shortly. And what I read, it said the Kansas City Chiefs and four other teams are among the candidates. For him to mention the Kansas City Chiefs in particular and not have the other team names, well, maybe there's something there. I don't – like, they have Clyde Edwards-Helaire, and he's been doing great. They're a team that's they're stuck in the cap. You know, obviously, Le'Veon Bell's at the point where he's gotten all this money from the Jets. He can sign on a very, very team-friendly deal. But I don't know. The Chiefs are a very interesting destination. Is there a fit there?
I don't think so. I mean, listen, Le'Veon Bell is a star athlete. He still has his ego. If he goes somewhere, he's still going to want his touches. Maybe not like before in Pittsburgh, but I just don't see him. Where does he fit into that offense? Like, yeah, you're splitting carries, let's say. Let's say you split carries 50-50 with Helaire, but the Chiefs are already a team that has so many other weapons that it's like if you're already splitting the running back.
Helaire barely gets enough carries.
That's what I'm saying. He barely touches the ball except for that first game when it was like his basically like you're the rookie.
I feel like they really fed him that game too.
Yeah, our offense can do whatever we want. Let's just get the rookie a touchdown and a couple hundred yards, whatever it was, right? So other than that, ever since that, you've seen his production go down. He's still playing great, but I think throwing Le'Veon Bell in there, it doesn't make sense. And I think it's not needed.
It reminds me of when they signed LeSean McCoy a year ago, and it was like this big star, and then he went there, and he was the sixth option on offense. Exactly. I don't think they need him. They believe that the roster they have right now is good enough to win the Super Bowl. They proved that last year, exactly. It's practically an identical roster that they won with a year ago. And you got to think about stuff like the locker room. Maybe they really like the group of guys they got in there. They're tight knit. They don't want to gamble on a guy like Le'Veon Bell, who has shown before. This guy was liking tweets last week about how Adam Gase isn't giving him the ball enough. It's stuff like that where the players know what they're doing when they do that, and it stirs a lot of negative publicity. I get it that he wanted to get out of New York, but there's a way to do it that I think is much better than to, you know, tap buttons on your phone screen. So you said my top three. I guess I'll give you Bears, Steelers. I'll agree with you. And I'm going to say the Arizona Cardinals.
Yeah.
I'm not sold at all on Kenyon Drake. I watched him in Miami. This is not a dynamic running back, I don't think. He had a couple great games in Arizona last year, but what he hasn't shown enough this year, and he was projected to have this breakout year, and he's not doing it. I like Chase Edmonds, the number two there, but I think an offense led by Kyler Murray, Cliff Kingsbury, and then you put in Le'Veon Bell, who is a threat both in the passing and running game, with DeAndre Hopkins and Larry Fitzgerald, I think that would be a lot of fun. And the Cardinals are 3-2 now.
Let me check the record.
They did win this week, so I believe they're 3-2. They got to keep pace in that NFC West, and I think Le'Veon Bell would give them the boost as they're a young team. So I'm gonna say
Cardinals are.
Yeah, Bears, Cardinals, and the Steelers are going to be my top three.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, the Cardinals would be, like you said, that'd be super fun to watch. I think it's – maybe it's just because that's where I want it to go, but I think it's Steelers or Bears.
I'm going to rule out one destination that I've gone back and forth with myself, but I'm beginning to conclude that I just do not want this to happen. And my Dolphins have been linked to Le'Veon Bell, and I know he's even said before that he'd want to play in Miami. I think he trains there in the off season. Not for me. I don't know what it is. Just I don't think as ineffective as we've been on the ground. I just don't think we need him.
And yeah, it doesn't make sense.
It doesn't make sense with what we're trying to do. Yeah. We're a young rebuilding team. I'm coming off a win against the NFC champions in the 49ers where we scored 43 points. Not a big deal. But, I don't like the fit there with the Dolphins and Le'Veon Bell. Just to wrap up a bit of last week's action before we move on, Dak Prescott this week, torrid pace to start the season. Looked like he was going to smash the passing yards record by a long shot. Was again doing his thing against the New York Giants this week, and then he ultimately suffered a very, very gruesome and intense ankle injury, which was hard to watch. And he was emotional, being carted off the field. His season is done, and it does the Cowboys season done with that?
I don't think so. Just because of how weak their division is. Basically, before Dak went down, I thought it's like 100% Cowboys are winning this division, even if it's 9.
They could start 0-5. They can start 0-5, and I still would say Cowboys are going to win this division.
Now, I just think it's going to be closer between the Eagles and Cowboys because I still think the Cowboys will win. I mean, I don't know if people are kind of doubting Andy Dalton too much, but he's a capable quarterback. And he's a game manager, and I was talking about this with somebody else, I forget, off the show, but this might help Mike McCarthy, not help Mike, force Mike McCarthy to run the ball more. And that's something he has basically said no. I think we talked about this on the last show, but he's insistent on passing the ball a ton, but I think now Andy Dalton's in, and I think this could help, you know, feed Zeke, the whole thing. And if they get that running game going and keep the defense off the field, I think in a way this could, in long term, like let's say for the next 3 years, long term, help Mike McCarthy and the Cowboys, just because I think this is going to help them find their run game finally.
Yeah, it's obviously anytime you lose your best player, you're not going to be a better team.
No.
In the short term, it's not helping them at all. And obviously, it's terrible what happened to Dak Prescott and just seeing how emotional he was to get carted off the field. You never want to see that ever in sports. So definitely, prayers go out to Dak for sure. But just looking forward, because the Cowboys have, 75% of their season still to play. You know, where are they going to go without him? Because he was their identity this year. But luckily, they have two things. They have who I think is the best backup quarterback in the entire NFL, and Andy Dalton. And they went out and got him for a reason this offseason. And they have someone who, I think right now, with McCaffrey injured and Saquon injured, I don't think there's much of a debate that Zeke is on paper. And if you just look at his intangibles and his body of work, he's the best running back in football too. So they're in a situation where offense was never the problem for this team. So even though they're losing one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL and you know the heartbeat of their team, they still have the talent where I think they're going to put up points. Whether they do that running the ball and pounding it up the middle with Zeke or with Andy Dalton throwing to three fantastic wide receivers. My issue is still that defense because I don't think Andy Dalton is good enough to throw for 500 yards every week and manage to keep the games close even when your defense is giving up 40. So I think they are going to struggle at times. And if they were in any other division in the entire NFL, I really want to stress this point. If they were in any other division in the entire NFL, I would peg them to pick in the top 10 in the draft. But because their best competition is the Eagles, led by practice squad player Travis Fulgham, is probably their most impressive player this season, I still think they're going to win the division. And we are going to see playoff Andy back in the playoffs this season.
Try to win a playoff game after all the back-to-back division titles in Cincinnati, and then they could never win a game in the playoffs. It was crazy to watch.
They should sign Vontaze Perfect,
yeah,
too, the Cowboys.
Bring the band back together. Trade for AJ Green.
Yeah. AJ Green's on the market.
Exactly. Bring them back together. Just get the Bengals and Cowboys uniforms, and there's a division title right there for you.
What do you think the threshold is here for their wins? Do you think 6 wins gets you in the playoffs in that division?
No.
No, so it's got to be 7 or 8.
I think here's the thing. The Eagles and Cowboys, especially if you look at the Cowboys, they're going to get from their division, I think they already won once against the Giants. But I think they'll win again against the Giants and the football team. And I think the worst they do is split with the Eagles.
Yeah.
So there's 5 wins. And so I think they'll get to 8 fairly easily. I think it's 8 or 9 wins for the Cowboys still.
Yeah, I still think they can do that as well. And as bad as their defense is, I feel like there's going to be a game or two at least where they put it all together and they have a couple good games. They hold the team under 20-something points and
hold them under 25 for once.
Yes, exactly. Just once. Once is all we're asking and the pressure's off Andy Dalton. But you know, the Red Rifle looked good ever since he came in for Dak Prescott. So I think we both agree that the Cowboys still have some hope. With their current situation into this week's games, just because it's Thursday this week, we're doing the podcast, we can sort of look ahead, whereas normally we're doing them on a Tuesday morning. So, yeah, let's get into the Bucks and the Packers. Anytime Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers go head-to-head, it's always a big spectacle. So, quickly, when you look at these two teams on paper, who do you see? I know last week you talked about how good you think this Packers team is. You think they're the best team in the NFL. Do you think Brady has a chance then against this Packers team?
I'm going to give them a chance just because 2 things. I know the Packers are also coming off a bye week, so they have even more rest than the Buccaneers. But the Buccaneers play Thursday, so they get that extra long break as well. Also, they lost. This is a Brady revenge game. He's got to come back and – I mean, that was a pretty embarrassing loss, the whole fourth down thing over there, right? But I do give him a chance. I don't think the game's going to be by any – I think it'll be within 7 points. I do think the Packers are going to win. But I'm going to give him a shot. I think – is Godwin playing? Do you know?
I'm not sure yet. I know – I think he's missed the last 2 weeks, which is – interesting. Well, speaking of Le'Veon Bell,
yeah, this is breaking news. Yes,
this is not breaking news yet, but an interesting update. He's narrowed his choice between 3 teams, and this is going to rule out your little reunion that you wanted to see: the Chiefs, the Bills, and the Dolphins. So no Bears, no Steelers. I think it's interesting that he wants to go play for a division rival of the Jets. This guy just wants to play Adam Gase again this year. That's all he cares about. Interesting update, but nonetheless, we will continue with our Packers and Buccaneers talk.
Quickly, though, out of those three teams, Bills, that's who I'd hope he goes to. I don't want to see him with the Chiefs or Dolphins. Yeah.
I want to see him with the Bills. I got to think he wants to be in the playoffs this year. I don't know. Like
I don't know why he would go to the Dolphins. The
Dolphins appeal is coming from. Maybe he likes our uniforms, but
he thinks he looks good in teal. That's why.
Yeah. Let's be honest, a lot of guys do. So, anyways, Bucks and Packers. You make a great point. When have we ever seen Brady in his career lose in back-to-back weeks? It's very, very unlikely and uncharacteristic of him, and. Even if the Bucs have been playing terrible, and last week they've had a really, really bad game. When it's Brady versus Rodgers, Brady he becomes Michael Jordan. It becomes personal. He needs to assert dominance over Aaron Rodgers. So I guess for that reason, I think this could be one that, like you said, down to the wire.
Yeah, absolutely. Like I said, within 7 points, I think it could come down to who has the ball last, who's going to lead them down for a game-winning field goal, something like that. I think it'll be a fantastic game. I know the Packers are getting Devontae Adams back, which is huge because Rodgers has basically been throwing to no one, and they're undefeated. So now he's got his number one guy back. It'll be interesting to see how much he plays if he's on, you know, a bit of a snap count. But yeah, I think it'll be a really good game.
Yeah, Rodgers doesn't have to turn to Robert Tonyan for 4 touchdowns today. Like we said, anytime the Brady and Rodgers go head-to-head, battle of the, I guess, two GOATs, as some may consider Rodgers to that level. I know I was once one of the people in that group, but I no longer walk that walk. But anytime they do go head-to-head, it's always a good contest. So definitely the marquee game of the week. But I guess without further ado, as we are running out of time today, we have to get into the weekly tradition on the show. My computer might overheat today when we say these, because we're both just so red hot. Off that undefeated week, 4-0 combined record. I'll give you the floor to go ahead first. Hit me with your first pick.
And I've hit four in a row.
Yeah, you have, because you're 2-4. What's your record? 4-2?
It's now 4-2.
Talk about rallying on the back nine. Wow.
Yeah.
Look at you.
Big comeback. But here, I'm going to let you go first. Last week, I went first. And if we go back and forth, technically, you have the upper hand. So you can go first.
Okay. All right. I will go first then. And I'm going to pick the game that we were just talking about. I think Packers -1. It's a pick 'em. I think it's just too good to be true. I know they're playing on the road, but this is a team that's coming off a bye. And I think Tom Brady will make it close, as we talked about, just because he's got something to prove now. He was embarrassed on national television throwing up the 4, but I just think this Packers team is a different animal. As we mentioned before, they're great on defense. They're great running the ball. Devontae Adams coming back is just going to make Rodgers even better. So I got the Packers winning this game, and that's all it's going to take for it to cover. So Packers over the Bucs.
Okay. First pick, I've capitalized on this team 2 weeks in a row, looking to do it a third time. This time I'm going to be picking. I'm not going to be picking against them. So I'm going to pick the Washington football team plus – I have a +3. What spreads do you have? +3. Okay, yeah. So +3 against the Giants. I think they're going to win the game. I think they're better than the Giants. And I think that pass rush is going to get to Daniel Jones, who is good for – if he's facing a good pass rush, he's good for 2 turnovers a game. I think it'll be close, but I think Washington will win by, like, a field goal.
You mentioned turnovers. I think as long as Kyle Allen doesn't turn the ball over, I like Washington's odds. It's going to be the team that turns the ball over less.
And I like Washington to do that, to win that battle.
Giants defenses look decent this year, but that Washington pass rush, full health, is one of the – it's weird to say this with Washington, but it's one of the best.
Yeah.
So, you know what? That's an interesting pick. See how it pans out. We always write down a couple extra, just to say this. We don't know what pick each other are gonna do. So I think, what did you write down for this week?
I have four. Yeah,
you have four that you like. I have three that I like.
I'm looking at them right now. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Now I'm left with two choices. And honestly, these are both tough.
What are the choices?
Okay. You know what? It makes it a little bit more interesting. Last week, I was harping on the Dolphins at +9 is just disrespectful. And they won the game. So that shows it right there. I picked the Dolphins before. I picked them to cover against the Jags, which they were also +3 in that one. And now this week is the first week all season that they're favored. And they're sitting at -9 at home against a Sam Darnold-less and Le'Veon Bell-less Jets. So I really, really like that game. And the other team that I'm looking to pick is a team that's just proven me 3 weeks in a row that you do not bet against these guys, whether it's against the spread or just in general. They're red hot right now, and that's the Carolina Panthers. And they're just -1.5 against the Bears, who also have a bit of rest because they haven't played since Thursday. It's a tough call, but you know what? I'm picking with my heart here, and I'm going to go with the Miami Dolphins. I think they are going to once again answer the call this week. And it's a stick it to Adam Gase game because he was their coach at one point, and I think they cover. So Dolphins at -9.
Yeah, it's crazy to think that the Dolphins are favored by 9 points against any team. Like, they're a decent team, but that the Jets are that bad that I agree with that pick. I didn't have that pick. That was not one of my picks. But the other game that you were thinking of, I'm on the other side. So I'm gonna take the Bears +1. Do you have it at +1 too?
I had it at 1.5, but you know we'll use your odds.
Oh no, we'll take the 1.5. I'll take the half point.
Yeah.
I'll take the 1.5. Yeah, who knows? Yeah, I think Nick Foles is starting to find his stride in this offense, and the Panthers. I watched a good chunk of that Falcons game against the Panthers. I watched especially towards the end because I picked them in one of my pro line pool things, and I picked the Falcons. And if Matt Ryan doesn't throw an interception, like in the red zone, terrible throw, if he doesn't make that decision and they tie that game, the landscape looks a lot different, and the Bears are probably favored by 3.5. But because Carolina wins that game in the fashion that they did, it's only at +1, whatever. I think the Bears cover. I think they beat them by 4 or 5.
I don't need to go into another rant about my feelings on the Bears. How this team is 4-1 is beyond me. Okay. I'll still hold a firm stance over here. Do I think the Panthers are some juggernaut? No. That's why I ultimately didn't pick the game, because I feel like both teams, in some respect, the magic's going to run out at some point. But to think of the Bears at 5-1 through 6 weeks is just incredible. I'll admit it, and they're starting to prove me wrong with just how many wins they gained, because I was of the belief that they're going to be in the Trevor Lawrence, Justin Fields, or Trey Lance sweepstakes at the end of the year. But you know what? They're getting it together. But like I said, I was on the Panthers board, but final picks, I've taken the Dolphins -9 and the Packers -1, and you are going with the Bears +1.5 and Washington
+3.
Maybe we can do another 4-0 week.
Who knows?
I think we got the potential for it.
Potential.
But I guess we'll revisit it in next episode of the From the Nosebleeds podcast, which will be out. Again, I think we're going to get back to our regular schedule next
regular
week.
Regular Tuesday and, recordings, yeah.
Go to Tuesday. With no Tuesday night football, there's no excuses for me to have my clock all messed up. But if you did make it to the end of today's episode, we thank you so much for tuning in. And guys, keep it up with the support. We really enjoyed it. We really appreciate it as a plate. And I think that's all for today's show. So
have a good week, guys.